This half hour brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And now we turn to the NBA, Keith Pompey, covering the Philadelphia 76ers. Keith, great to have you with us.
Hey, I'm doing well. Yourself?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. You've been asked a billion times about Paul George going to the Sixers, so I will make it a billion and one about the fit, in your opinion, of Paul George with Maxey and Embiid. How do you feel he fits?
I mean, I feel like he's a pretty good fit. I mean, because when you look at it, like, you know, you look at Paul George, you look at Maxey, you look at Embiid, you know, all three of them are different positions, right? You look at Paul George, he's a guy who brings it on the defensive end. You know, he's a standout wing. He can also handle the ball. And then you see Maxey, you know, a point guard, a combo guard, and Joel Embiid a center. So I think it's a really good fit because, you know, these are three guys who should be able to coexist together because they all bring different things to the game. You know, so I look at Paul as a, you know, a quality defender, a quality wing defender who can help him out greatly.
Maxey got a terrific deal out of this because of how he's played. You've watched him all the time. Where has he made the improvements to allow us to see what we are seeing now?
Oh, that's a great question. I think the biggest improvement is his ability to run an offense, right? You know, because when you looked at it before, you said, oh, there's no way in heck that this guy can be a quality point guard. Like, maybe he can be like, you know, a guy who can handle the ball at times. But you look at him and you say he can't run an offense. That was the big question mark. So that's been the major, I would like to say that's been the major improvement. We all knew that he could score points. We all knew that he can, you know, hit threes. But I think running an offense has been the biggest improvement that made him become an all-star.
Something that makes the championship teams like Denver and the Celtics is that, yes, they have stars, but the, quote, people that they fit in around them, and in the Celtics' case, it's Derek White, it's Drew Holiday, and then guys off the bench like Hauser and, of course, Al Horford. The Sixers have not fit parts around their stars as well. So when you look at the draft, coming in from Duke, and the big guy from UCLA, you know, what kind of fit can they be for this team?
You know, they can be pretty good fits. Now, the guy from UCLA, I don't really expect him to play a lot.
No.
Like, I'm looking at him right now. He's going to be the third string center.
Right.
But his name is Bona, Adem Bona. But when you look at the guy from Duke, his name is Jarrett McCann. I look to him to have a vital role, to play a key role for them. Because he's a guy who can have that come off the bench, stretch a defense. You know, when Maxey's on the floor, when Maxey's off the floor and other people, you know, you can spread the floor and try to see, let them go to work. But the thing is, the biggest role is, when you look at the Sixers, when they had Jimmy Butler, they had J.J. Redick. You know, J.J. Redick was like the sharpshooter.
Yes.
I see him coming in and being that, coming off of screens, hitting shots. You know, so to me, that's his biggest role. Now, again, part of the problem is like him and Maxey, you know, that's a really, really small backcourt.
Yes.
So he's not going to start. He's going to come off the bench. But for right now, for a championship team, his best asset is his ability to shoot. And also, he's a winner. Like, he gets after it. But Bona, the guy, the center that they got in the second round, I don't, like, if you got to play him a lot of minutes,
yeah,
I think the Sixers may be in trouble.
Yeah, no,
and that's
no.
not a knock against him.
No,
but
no.
when you have Joel Embiid and you have Andre Drummond as your first two centers, you know, Bona is going to be a guy who, you know, an insurance policy, so to speak.
He's going to have a good view of the game because it's going to be on the sideline.
Yeah.
I thought Andre Drummond was a good pickup. What was your thought on that?
Oh, Well, he was a huge pickup, and it's funny because after they traded him, it was weird. Like, they traded him, and then all of a sudden they go to the playoffs, and Joel gets injured. And they're like, wow, here we go. Like, I mean, literally, Joel got injured that first playoff series, and then he missed the first two games, I believe, in that one, in the second round. So it's like they've been trying to get him back since. I mean, they were, you know, and they last this past season, they thought they had a trade for him, and it fell through in the final second. But him, you look at him, he's going to be a huge benefit because the Sixers, when you look at the 76ers, they were a team who struggled mightily in rebounding. And you look at Andre Drummond, that's what he does. He's a great rebounder. Also, he's a starter level center. You know, he's been a backup. He was a multi-time all-star. But when he comes in there, it's kind of like you have a guy, you're not going to utilize him the same way you utilize Joel. But at the same time, you have a guy that, you know, can still score points, can do things. And you don't have to worry about on the defensive end of getting abused and getting out rebounds and things like that. So he's a great pickup. As much as we talk about Paul George, don't get me wrong.
Right.
Paul George is huge. But when you look at Drummond and you look at the weaknesses that they've had when Embiid didn't play, being able to get that guy was extremely vital for the Sixers' success.
All right, I want to ask you now about the single most talked about second round pick in the history of the NBA. and I know you're in Salt Lake. All right, so you're not down in Vegas to see any of this live. But look, Dalton Connect was the Lakers' first-round pick. And I thought that was a good first-round pick, by the way. I thought that was a good first-round pick. Yeah, I agree. In fact, I'll go with you. I thought it was a great pick. So I have zero issue as to whether he was a second-round pick, 55th overall. I mean, let's be realistic about what the NBA draft is. But he has so much hype around him. What's just your general thought on how it played out? And where he is with his game.
You know, it's weird. Like, you know, you get it. Like, you understand, you know, a year ago. Let's go back a year ago, right, when LeBron said, hey, I would love playing with my son.
Right.
And at that point, everyone knew that you had a sense. You didn't know, but you felt like the Sixers were going to draft him, right? I'm not the Sixers. I'm sorry, the Lakers. You felt like the Lakers were going to draft this guy.
Right.
But then all of a sudden, it's like this comes out, and it became, and I was at the pre-draft camp, right, Chicago.
Yeah.
And it became one of those things where no one cared about the other lottery picks or any of the lottery picks. It was all about him. I mean, he was the headliner. But then when the game came out, you look at it and you say, wow, he's struggling a little bit. I mean, he's not playing well. And then when we get to the draft and you get to everything and you're saying to yourself, like, you know, they're saying we don't want anybody else to draft him, this and that, da, da, da. And it's like, wow, this is a lot of hype for a guy who's typically a late second round pick. And now you go and you see how he's playing now, how he played in that one game, and he struggled. In a way, you feel sorry for the guy. But at the same time, you feel like he's being set up for failure.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is kind of like, you know, is the more that they talk about him, the more like money that he gets, the more that he's like being treated like a lottery pick, it's kind of sort of, in my opinion, could backfire on the kid. Because right now, like you said, think about it. Have you ever talked about a 55 pick from another team? I mean, not in Pennsylvania on your show.
No.
You know what I mean? So this is just one of those things where I feel like he's going to be set up. If everything that he does is going to be, dissected. And you know, every time they do stuff, like, for instance, he struggled. And they came out and then what was it? Well, we don't care about what he does in Summer League. It doesn't matter. So, you know, it just seems like people are putting a bullseye on this kid. They don't realize it, but they are. They're putting a bullseye on him.
I agree with all of that. And the part about him Because I watched, because with USC coming into the Big Ten, I tried to take a little bit of time in the past season to take a look at Oregon, Washington, UCLA, and USC just to get a real, to get a, at least a feel for them. That's like Bona, for example. I saw him play a couple times for UCLA. Well, that also meant that Bronny James played. And I, this thing, part about him I just can't tell is how much he was affected by the cardiac arrest and all the time that he missed. And I just don't know how that figures into what we're even seeing right now, because he hasn't really played a lot in the last year.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because, you know, you look at it, and, you know, initially when he made the McDonald's All-American game, right?
Yeah.
Before all that happened, you know, you're saying, wow, that's crazy. How did he make it? He's the 66th. You know, recruit in the country, so someone he passed on up.
Yeah.
But then in that game, he played well.
He
actually played well in the McDonald's All-American game. Like, he wasn't a superstar, but he was knocking down threes, and he looked like, you know, he belonged, right?
Yeah.
So then he has that, you know, the cardiac arrest, and then he's struggling. But, you know, it's weird, so we don't know. But at the same time, if it was another kid, I mean, we have to be honest with ourselves.
That's
with the stats that he put up. They would have said, hey, son, it's your best bet to stay in the draft. I mean, stay in school another year to prove yourself.
That's right.
But, you know, he didn't have to. So, you know, so, yeah, like, I don't know how much that impacted. But at the same time, you have to realize that he did get some special privileges because of who he is.
Right. And I think what you said is so spot on is – and it's part the Lakers, it's part LeBron, and it's absolutely part ESPN. You're right. They're setting him up for failure. He won't be able to do enough for anybody because of what's happened from those three entities that's not allowing him to be him.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I do believe that, too, because, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, in a perfect world, you get him, you know, you give him his money, what have you, and you say, okay, he's going to be a couple years, he's going to be a project. He goes down to the G League, this and that. Now, who knows, that may be the plan. But the more media attention that he gets, and the more that you got people up there vouching for him and saying stuff, and then, you know, bringing up things like, hey, this isn't, this is nepotism, but there's been nepotism in the league for years.
Yeah.
It's been this and it's been that and, you know, yada, yada. Now, listen, I'm just going to say this. I had some kids, some guys who I went to college with, and their fathers were like, you know, CEO. One guy in particular, his dad was a CEO. Mm-hmm. And we all knew after he graduated that he was going to be, you know, a big wig in the business, right? But at the same time, he did. Now, who knows? I don't know what his grade point average was, but at the same time, he did graduate, right? He graduated and he did stuff. And to this day, he's still a successful businessman. Mm-hmm. But he's been able to hold his own after that, right?
Yeah.
So, to me, it's like when the ESPN and other people keep making these excuses, it's kind of like, well, why do we have to bring this up?
Right.
Like, why are you making excuses? And secondly, you know, there's been other father-son tandems in the NBA, right? But, you know, they didn't make the excuses. I mean, you know, they didn't do it. I mean, think about it. Look at Steph Curry.
Yeah. From,
we're talking about a kid, Steph Curry, whose father, Dell, was a great, you know, sharpshooter in this thing. Steph Curry, North Carolina, now, even though his dad was the man, North Carolina and Duke didn't even give him a scholarship.
That's right.
He goes to Davidson, and he made a name for himself, right? You understand what I'm saying? Like, so things like that happen. I mean, you look at Dominique Wilkins. He had his brother, Gerald Wilkins, had a son who ended up going to playing, I believe he played at NC State.
He did.
And then from there, he had a couple years in the NBA. So, you know, but nothing was built up the way this one was. Mm-hmm. And I think that the hype and making excuses. And sometimes it comes down to people want to stay in good grace. They don't want, like, LeBron. They don't want LeBron's camp saying, we don't want to deal with y'all. So what they'll do is they'll talk and they'll make excuses and say whatever they can, just so when that something happens, they'll be one of the first people or first persons to get that text message.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
yeah.
it is what it is, but at the same time, it's unfortunate because what they're doing is a lot of guys now, and y'all know it happens. You're going to go up against a guy who feels like he's been slighted,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to go at this kid, and they're going to try to embarrass the kid. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like the kid suddenly becomes a bullseye. And I'm going to tell you this. I was there in Chicago, interviewed him. He's the type of kid that when you talk to him and this and that, you are pulling for this guy.
Right.
I mean, I was pulling for him,
yeah.
and I still am.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he seems like a great young man.
Yep.
But you're right. All this attention is just putting a bullseye on the kid.
Final question. It's not going to be about him. You go to a summer league game with that trained eye of yours. Keith, what do you look for in a summer league game? Fans are looking for something. What are you looking for, if anything?
You know, it's crazy. I remember the first time I was there, I was like covering it like it was an NBA game, and the other reporters were like, dude, what are you doing? Half of these guys aren't going to be here. Like 80% of them. So a lot of times I look at it and see what a guy worked on, right?
Right.
You know, like for instance, Ricky Council yesterday was phenomenal, and he played well. You know, coming out, he made 5 of 10 threes. Beforehand, that wasn't a strong suit of his. When he got drafted a year ago.
That's right.
So that tells me how much work he put in on his game and how, you know, it's not. So it's things like that I look at. I look at, the guy, Jarrett McCann, he's supposed to be a shooter. He came in as a shooter. Now, his shot wasn't falling, but I was looking to see how could he run an offense, the tenacity he brings,
mm-hmm.
you know, other things that he can do on the floor. Now, again, the competition level isn't going to be as good as it is, not even in the preseason, right?
Mm-hmm.
But those are the type of things that you want to see. And a lot of times when you got a first-round pick, are they going to dominate? Now, there was a kid who went from Philadelphia who went to Kentucky. Now, he was an undrafted guy, but he was one of the nation's top recruits the year before. And you look at him and you want to see aggressiveness. You don't want to see a guy who's just fitting in. And unfortunately, he didn't show that. He was just trying to fit in. So those are the things that you look at more so than points. It's just that if it's a veteran, a first-year guy or second-year guy, what did he work on in the offseason? The other guy, what can he do when his shot isn't falling? Can he lead an offense? Can he still put an imprint on the game? And then those other guys who have question marks, you want to see them be aggressive. So those are the things that I look for. The games are really, you know, meaningless to me. The score of the game, rather.
Right.
But it's what they do individually.
Yeah, they were Justin Edwards, probably the Kentucky guy, right?
Yeah. I'm sorry for not naming
him. No. That's fine. Just so everybody knows, if you win the summer league, you don't get a parade. And the competition in practice, when they get to the preseason, just in practice, is going to be better than this. All right, so.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Right. No, before I go, I just want to say, I remember my first summer league. I'm looking at these guys. I'm seeing all these dudes, you know, who came in from overseas and were ex-NBA players. And I'm like, hey, this is going to be great. And I'm like, well, how come they ain't playing? And the guy said, man, they just got them there for practice. Like, they just practice players. And I was like, oh, so this is what summer league is like. They're like, yeah, dude, that's all it is.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's televised practices. All right.
Exactly.
Keith, always a pleasure. Great perspective. Appreciate you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate being on the show.
Keith Pompey on the NBA. This half hour brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.